Hey yo, and here we go with another edition of We Talk Wrestling with Addy and Mo. Hey yo, I'm Addy.
Hey yo, I'm Mo. The other DX?
What other DX?
The other DX tonight.
What are you talking about?
Destination X.
There's another Degeneration X.
Destination X.
Oh, Destination X. Yeah, you're the only one that calls it that.
Oh, I'm lazy.
That's true.
So anyways, we just watched that.
We did. Destination X in the books.
In the books.
In the books, as it were, if you will.
If you will. And some people got the Duke.
Some people got the Duke.
Some got the Duke. And tell us about the opening match. It was 15 minutes in before I showed up, as is my pay-per-view tradition.
Yes, you showed up late as usual, and what you missed was just a stellar contest between the losers of the X Division qualifying matches. It was Rubix, Mason Andrews, Dakota Darso, and that Lars-only jackoff that were in a match. We talk about getting out and supporting your indies.
Yeah.
And I feel, by watching this match.
Yeah, no kidding. Well, especially that... I can't look at that Lars whatever dude. I can't look at him and not... He's just indie-rific.
Yeah.
His look and his moves and his just personality is just screams indie-rific.
Yes, yeah. I mean, Rubix...
Rubix, I think, is good. I would add him to the X Division. Then again, I would have added Jack Evans last year, you know?
Right.
Yeah, I mean, Lars only, and what's his name, Michael Darso? What is it, Barry Darso's son?
Dakota Darso.
So the son of Smash.
Yes, which...
is also not ready for prime time.
Which,
Rubix and Scorpio Sky, who Mason Andrews here, who ended up getting the win, I think they're both ready for a national time.
Mike Tenay did actually say that Dakota Darso is the son of Smash from Demolition.
Oh, he actually said it this time.
Yeah.
On Impact, they were
dancing
around it.
Yeah.
I was going to be like, you know that, what's his name again? Something Darso? Michael Darso?
Dakota Darso?
That's it. That Dakota Darso, he's going to smash his opponents.
Yes.
You know,
I think that's actually what...
He's going to repo their will to win.
Oh.
And then it'll be like, he'll be so ecstatic, it'll be like he just got a hole in one.
That's right.
He's just going to crush him.
What a bully.
He's a crusher.
What a blacktop bully.
Yeah, that's what I would have done. That's how I would have screwed
him. Well, that's actually how Tenay said. He said something about best known as the son of Smash from Demolition. He just smashed him right there.
There you go.
Is the way it went. But anyway, so as you mentioned, Mason Andrews gets the Duke.
No, he's different than Mason Ryan. He's good.
A little different. The other thing, though, is Rubix was definitely over, huge.
Yeah.
Took a great, I don't know what it was, like
AKA
almost like a...
Jax, or Jigsaw, and I think Chikara, is that where he's from?
I think so, yeah. I kind of figured this much. I've never seen him, but when he came out the first time, I kind of thought that, just given the fact that he had puzzles all over his...
Yeah. It was pretty obvious that I've heard about the guy a few times. I haven't seen him really much. I think I might have saw him sometime on YouTube or something when I was checking out some Chikara, but yeah. Not overly familiar, but yeah, no, he looks good to me, too. So, I mean, he and Scorpio Sky, Mason Andrews, and I'm glad if they add that in.
Yeah, I'd be all right with that. And then we go right to Kid Cash versus Mason Andrews, because it was a tournament bout, and the winner of this, that four-way, had to fight Kid Cash.
Now, in this match, it seemed to me that Kid Cash did what we can never accuse Archie the Stomper Goldie of doing, and took advantage of a young boy in the ring.
In the ring.
Because Mason Andrews, when this was over, had, from chops, had marks on... He looked like the blood vessels had been popped on his chest.
Yes.
And it was there. It was still visible later in the night. It looked like there were some very physical, stiff shots that he took from Cash.
Yes.
Which is no surprise.
No.
The reason why Cash and what's his name? Jamie Noble were the Bulldogs, or not the Bulldogs, the Pitbulls there.
Yes, Pitbulls.
There is that. So... They were not the Bulldogs.
They were definitely not the Bulldogs.
No. I'm not even sure they were the Pitbulls, to be 100% honest. But they were definitely... No, their name was. But, you know, there's more than one Pitbull.
Is there?
Yeah.
Is there a Pitbull number two?
There is.
Huh.
Yeah. Is he still alive?
No.
What about Pitbull number one?
Yeah, he's still alive. Oh, Gary Wolf.
All right. Which is the one with the broken neck?
That was the guy that died of a drug overdose. Heroin, I believe. Anthony Durante.
EC Dub. Anyways.
So, yeah. Mason Andrews.
At least they weren't threatened by a machete by New Jack. That we know of.
Let's be fair.
We might bring that up later.
Let's be
if
fair.
If we feel like it. Jeez. Anyways.
Mason Andrews gets the Duke in the match.
You got the Duke. They beat Kid Cash.
They beat Kid Cash. They asked Samoa Joe who was going to win. He said Austin Aries was going to win.
He said, I'll take the man who's done something great. He beat me.
Yes.
And then he basically, cut a little promo on Angle. It was all right.
It was all right, yeah. Yeah. Douglas Williams against Kenny King. You know,
it went on a long time, and it was at this point that we were trying to figure out, was the crowd dead or poorly mic'd?
Yeah.
Because the crowd, which has been so awesome for Impact of late, was barely audible. And these guys were not getting a reaction similar to what Kenny King got on the Impact in the Impact Zone on Thursday.
Right.
So at this point, we're like, is it a little bit of A, a little bit of B, or is it option C?
It could, and as it turns out, it was option C.
Yeah.
Because they were going crazy at the end, and it wasn't really coming through. So
yeah, exactly.
Anyway,
a little bit of both, though, yeah.
Kenny King won.
They did everything right, and just because the crowd lacked energy, the match it felt like two guys putting on a wrestling match instead of two guys in a fight.
Yeah.
So nothing horrible, but I don't think there was anything truly horrible on the whole show, though.
No.
Just a lot of stuff that just didn't quite pop at the level we had hoped.
As I said, that opening match was kind of indie craptacular, but, you know, other than that. But trying to think of Christopher Daniels saying, you know, you could drink to that.
Yeah. That Christopher Daniels cut a nice little promo, as he usually does. Writers helped him.
No.
I don't think so. Yeah.
Then we had Sanjay Dutt against Rashad Evans.
Yeah. Sanjay Dutt, And I think, what's his name, Rashad Cameron? Rashad Cameron. I think he has potential, too. I thought his promo that he cut on Impact when he won his match was pretty good. The Rashad Cameron movement, I think that's got a little potential. That said, Dutt won. Dutt should have won. Dutt's finishing move he's using?
Oh.
Jesus, explain it.
It's just like a moonsault stomp. Basically, just as a flip.
Like the Warriors Way stomp that looks even sicker.
Yeah.
And not sicker because it looks cool, though it does that too. It looks like it hurts.
Oh, it hurts like a son of a bitch, it looks like, yeah.
Yeah. It's a work, folks.
It is a work. Yeah. So Sanjay won with that scary move. Then they did a little bit of a thing about Jesse Sorensen. Reminding about how he got hurt, and they showed some of his rehab.
By
Z-Mion, and
showed some of his rehab, like you say.
Showed some of his rehab. Showed his girlfriend. Showed his pet horse.
And I think we're gonna have his pet horse later on in the show.
I think so. Yeah. I think because his mother not pretty. But then it turns out that Jesse Sorensen was actually there, so he come out and read The Great Gatsby.
Yeah, I mean, I guess maybe he's soaking up the moment. He's getting a nice crowd reaction. He's back in there. But you got to get to the point, dude. You got your promos can't meander. You got to get to the point. You got to say what you're going to say. You got to have a little energy. And just because he didn't have that, it's not that what he was saying was bad or wasn't getting a good reaction. It's just, like you say, this show was only 3 hours, and there was only 20 minutes left, I think, when he was done.
Yeah, it was brutal.
Yeah. But he saw Zema Ion on the way out as Zema Ion was entering for his match.
That's right, yeah.
Ion kind of pointed at his neck, made fun of him a little bit.
Yeah.
Ion, to me, like I say, looks like a star, and Jesse Sorensen doesn't because he kind of looks like Teddy Hart.
Yeah, I didn't really... To me, he looks more like Michael McGillicuddy.
Yeah.
And, again, still not a star, though. Anyway, Z-Mai and then beat Flip Casanova to move on.
It was all right.
Yeah, it was
a little
okay.
Better than the Kenny King match before.
Yeah.
Still. At this point, we're three matches in, we're kind of going... Nothing great yet. Nothing bad, but nothing great. We're waiting for it to pick up.
Yeah, and then we get Kurt Angle versus Samoa Joe. And we're like, all right, here we go. And then, I don't know, I think it was checking my phone for most of this match. It was...
It did pick up when Joe went off the second rope and hit a leg lariat that just looked cool as hell for... See this 300-pound guy coming off and hitting it so beautifully. And from there, the match had some near falls and some different things. It did pick up. Up until that point, though, again, it was just didn't seem to have any snap to it. But that it helped from there, and it turned out to be a good match. Probably a 3-star match, and best match so far.
It was, yeah, it was decent. Yeah, definitely it was the best match.
Not the best Joe Angle match, but it was pretty good, though.
No, and then, so Joe chokes out.
At this point, we're going, the crowd's never going to be into it.
No.
Again, they didn't seem overly into it.
No.
But Joe actually got the Duke in a way I did not expect.
Yeah, he tapped, or he didn't tap out, he choked out Angle. Angle passing out, not tapping, in fact, complaining to the referee afterwards that he hadn't tapped. So 10 big...
Yeah, Earl Hebner, a.k.a. Madison Rain's crush.
Yes.
He basically said you're out. But Samoa Joe is getting, all of a sudden you just kind of look up, it's like, he's getting a little push again? And they're making him seem like he's...
Yeah.
...quite devastating again? And it's like, I guess when the guy's great, and he is great in the ring... It's maybe not that hard to do, right?
The cream of the crop.
Yeah, exactly.
You know,
yeah.
But...
we'll have Jay Lethal on another show.
Yeah, that'll be good. But I'm just trying to think of where... I mean, well, Samoa Joe, yeah, now winning, or in the lead, rather, I should say, for this Bound for Glory series. So
but it appears that he's had, like, 7 matches, the Storm's, like, 4.
They haven't really been keeping track.
Yeah, yeah. I don't know how good a job they're doing of that. But that's what... I mean, because we know he's lost a few... He lost a couple matches on TV. And he won a couple matches now. And one on pay-per-view and one TV. And they mentioned he won some in the arenas. And meanwhile, I think every single Storm match... for his points are all accounted for, I think. I think for... In the ring. Maybe not. I mean, I don't know. Just it feels like... I don't know. That's the one thing that's I'm having trouble with the tournament.
Right, right. Well, yeah, and it would be better if, like I said, they show the points there. But even if they had, like, how many matches they've had or something, right? Play that into the story, because it's all right if some people have had more matches. I mean, it happens in sport, in hockey, in baseball, you know, where teams will play more games than the other.
Yeah,
but
yeah,
at the end, they all play the same number, right?
Exactly.
So it's like, how many games in hand do they have?
But that's the difference, though, is that, and this is based largely off last year, but last year an idiot was doing it.
That's true.
But this is, you kind of are looking at it and thinking to yourself, okay, I don't know that I have the trust that at the end they all will have had the same amount of matches.
I heard that idiot was going back to WWE.
We have proof. He was hanging out with... I think he was hanging out last night at, whose house? Was it Kevin Dunn's or something like that?
I think so, yeah.
Yeah, he's got a picture. We'll put that up as a picture. Something like that.
We'll see, yeah.
We got proof. We got a scoop, because you know we're good friends with Vince. So, brand new picture of him with, I don't know, I guess he's hanging out with the belt.
Yeah, it looks like his return is imminent, so
yeah,
we'll
yeah,
see.
Interesting.
AJ Styles versus Christopher Daniels. Best match, of the night, probably. Top two, anyway.
I think it was the best match, yeah.
Yeah.
It was a different match between the two of them. Last man standing, obviously. It was both men juiced. There was a lot of very sick, I don't know if you call it sick, but a lot of physical spots on the ramp outside
the
ring.
Yeah, on the ramp.
A lot of teasing, a lot of storytelling, setting up moves, and then eventually... a Styles clash through a table, and I mentioned to you, it's like that takes great trust.
Yes.
They went off a ramp, Styles clash through a table. And, you know, afterward, I mean, there was a woman who was crying in the front row. She was so worried for AJ.
Yeah.
Daniel's sitting there, bloodied and looking all beat up. And I'm like, that's it. The feud is blown off, I think. I don't think you can go anywhere from here. I think this blows off the feud. But, I mean, it's like a year-long feud, right?
Right.
So, I mean, but I think it's blown off the feud, and it's a good match. But not great again. Just not... Not great. Just very good. Probably 3.75.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, but I mean, yeah, it was just, at least more of the stuff was towards the end when it got up onto the ramp there, the stuff actually in the ring. You know, there was nothing special about it
Again, it felt like the whole show was just lacking somewhat in energy. Mm-hmm. I don't think it wasn't that the guys weren't working hard. So I don't know. It's just one of those things sometimes. I mentioned this to you, and when you watch Impact, we talk about, like, Thursday's Impact was awesome.
Yes.
Like, that's one of the best television shows for wrestling shows I'd seen in a long time.
Yeah.
It was spectacular. They built that pay-per-view, and it made me want to watch next week's Impact promoting two different things at the same time.
Yes.
It was separate. You know, they promoted the matches, the Anderson angle, the Gail Kim, Miss Tessmacher, and the Joseph Park versus Bully Ray. They promoted that for next week, and it didn't take away from promotion of the pay-per-view. It was extremely well done. But one of the things is, a lot of the things that they do on that show, the camera angles, the behind-the-scenes, almost documentary-like footage where the shaky camera, all that stuff, that's all absent from the pay-per-view. The pay-per-view has a completely different feel. There's nothing to the back. There's no skits. There's no humor in TNA at all, really. I mean,
yeah.
Now that Eric Young is gone, I can't think of the last time there was a spot done purely for humor on their television or pay-per-view.
So. Yeah. Yeah, I'm trying to think of... is there one?
I can't think.
No.
I really don't think there is.
No.
So, I mean, it's and it proves that you could have a great television product without a lot of that.
Yeah.
Whereas with TNA or with WWE, you don't have a great television product, but you do have a lot of that.
Yes.
A lot.
Some of it's funny. No, none of it.
Very small percentage.
Yeah.
Yeah. But so, I mean, that's the thing, though. I mean, it's... but, yeah, I mean, I don't know if this show not having that snap to it is because it felt like... I mean, it felt like a wrestling card, not like a Impact, which feels like a wrestling TV show.
Yeah, well, it was basically, they turned the cameras on a house show, basically.
Yeah.
And, I mean, there's nothing wrong with that. I mean, people, buy the wrestling for the wrestling, let's say, you know.
And we
talked
about how WWE's pay-per-views used to be different. They used to be about the matches, and now it's the exact same as Raw.
Yeah.
And that's no good. I think the difference is Raw isn't good and Impact is good. So if you're going to emulate Impact on pay-per-view, it's fine. If you're going to emulate on Raw on pay-per-view because it's not very good, it's not fine.
That's true. So, yeah, but I don't know what the... I mean, you said this show wasn't bad. I mean, we get next to the Ultimate X match, which when we were looking at it, it was Kenny King versus Zema Ion versus Sanjay Dutt versus Mason Andrews. So you were looking at Sanjay Dutt...
Yeah. Well, we did have Bobby Roode cut that promo backstage on the three new guys.
Oh, right, yes.
But the three new guys who were in there, besides the returning Sanjay Dutt, Mason Andrews, and Kenny King, and they're all saying why they were going to win, and Bobby Roode just came out. And you know what? He cut a promo on the X Division, but he didn't. It's amazing because 1 year ago, you'd have Eric Bischoff cut a promo on the X Division and bury it. Here, Roode cut a promo on the X Division. Not so much burying the division as just being an a-hole himself.
Yeah, exactly. So, no, it's... Yeah, I'm going to... You know, you're your former champion I'm going to beat.
Yeah, exactly.
That's all it was, is break your little X Division hearts.
Exactly. Yeah.
So.
Yeah, so anyways, now we get into that Ultimate X match. I was thinking Sanjay Dutt was going to get it. Because you and I said, well, it should probably be Zema Ion based on the Sorensen thing earlier in the tonight,
right,
and the storyline, but it seems like it's going to be a while still before Sorensen gets there.
I just
can't picture a really long reign for Zema Ion, and I don't know if he's over enough, and I thought Dutt had the most potential to carry the division, so I was thinking Dutt.
I'm thinking now, though, now that they've brought him out and sort of carted him out onto the television, is that I'm almost thinking Bound for Glory for Sorensen's return.
And he returns and right away gets the title shot.
With Zema Ion, yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, that's not too far away.
I mean, if he's going to be healthy enough, I mean, the doctor in the rehab, and it didn't look like a work doctor. It looked like a real doctor, said he's going to come back and be as good as he was.
Yeah.
So, you know, hopefully he'll be better in that.
I was going to say, that's too bad.
Yeah. But yeah, no, and it's like I say, that's the angle. And if they can pull it off for Bound for Glory, and that's his first match back, and he wins the title, I'm fine with that.
Yeah.
1 year from now, though, who do you want having that shot at the World Championship? Who's the next division champion?
Right.
I don't know. It's any of these guys. It depends. I mean, we'll see what twists and turns of the year change takes. But I don't know it's any of these guys.
You know, I don't know that it's any of these guys either, but when you really sit and you think about it, again, and that point that they kept driving home throughout the pay-per-view is that 1 year ago, Austin Aries won that match to win his contract.
Yeah.
And now here he is.
Exactly.
So, you know, the most over guy. So, you know, you never say never, I guess, but I don't see it in any of these guys.
No, I don't see it. I think, like I said, I thought Dunn had the most potential to carry the division because he's good and he's known.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought that that Kenny King has the most potential of a guy who's new, who I think has great potential. So I thought those are the two that yeah. I would have gone at. But here's the other thing, though. I mean, they did set it up so that, and they talked about it afterwards. I thought Dutt was finally going to do it. I thought after all this time and longtime X-Division competitor, and now he's back, I thought he was going to get that belt.
Right.
He was the guy who was about to get the belt, and Zema Ion won it by using these hairspray that he uses on his hair as part of his gimmick. He used that on the eyes of Dutt
to
grab the belt.
The hairspray that he uses on his hair, huh?
Yeah.
Huh.
Well, I use hairspray, but I don't want to tell you where.
No.
Not on my hair.
Down where?
Down there. But it does make things stiff.
Yes.
I don't like Viagra. I'm going to do what I can.
That's true. You don't like pills.
No.
But yeah, that's, I mean,
I'm not Jeff Hardy.
You are not Jeff Hardy. That is true. Well, Zema Ion wins.
So I think you see him defend next month against Dutt.
The story of this match is that Dutt did a flying shooting star at Kenny King, I think it was, and ran into the ropes and hurt his elbow or shoulder and actually had to leave the match for a while and get medical attention. And so we were thinking, well, he's not coming back.
It looked like, because they weren't playing it up, like when it's part of an angle, the camera's all over it and they play it up, the camera's on the referee doing the X and mm-hmm. everything. Because they weren't playing this up at all, you'd think it's real.
Right.
Now I have no idea if it was or wasn't, because he left and he did come back.
Yeah. And he scaled the scaffolding, and so did Zema Ion on the other side, and they were actually above the cables.
That scared the shit out of me.
And we were like,
they were like 25, 30 feet in the air.
Yeah.
Legit. And if they slipped or fell, I mean,
well, I was just wondering what the spot was that they were going to do, because I'm thinking, like, someone's going to jump
thinking
off
some
this or something.
Scary
yeah.
spot. There wasn't.
No, then he just
spray painted them.
Well, it wasn't even that. It was the lead up to it, is that they gingerly let themselves down from the scaffolding onto the cables, and then all of a sudden the spray paint or the hairspray come out, and, you know, totally missing him, and cameras totally catching, you know, Dutt with his eyes closed. And so it was just, writing it up sounds great. In execution, it was not.
No, it wasn't. It was, yeah, a little anticlimactic. But,
yes.
They set up Zema Ion, like I said, I think they set up him and Dutt for next month at Hardcore Justice. And then after that, like you say, you have the Bound for Glory match if ready to go. So, I mean, that's fine. That's fine.
Yeah. So, and then we get and then Ion dedicated his win to the haters and to his biggest inspiration, Jesse Sorensen. You know, and without Sorensen, without breaking Sorensen's neck, he said he would not have realized his full potential. So, there you are, and there you go with, you know, setting up that feud.
And I think Zema Ion, as far as looking like a star and doing a promo, in the ring, I don't think his work is there. But
right.
As far as having the persona and the character and the look, as they say, whatever, I think he's getting there, starting to look more like a star. Like when he came out, you're like, oh, he doesn't look like anybody else in the X Division or anybody else in WWE or TNA. He has a little bit of a unique look. His hair's a little different than everybody else. His tights or whatever you call those pants they wear,
yeah,
are a little different. You know, I think he's got something there. I just don't know that he's quite ready to carry the division. But we'll see. Hopefully, I mean, again, I would like to see a good long title reign, because that's something that TNA's been doing for a long, long time.
Yeah. So, and then we get to our
It makes sense for Sorensen to win it at BFG.
It does. It does. Our main event of the evening.
Yes.
Oh, it did. But then Christy Hemme finished the interview by throwing it back to Mike Tenay and Taz.
Who wasn't there?
It was Jeremy Borash calling this. I guess we should mention that.
Yeah, we don't know if it's that Taz had an issue. I know last year Taz had an issue.
Right.
So Borash ended up taking over, and it made sense that Borash was there actually for the Destination X pay-per-view, for the DX pay-per-view.
Yeah.
We'll call it DX from now on.
No, you will.
So, anyways, it made sense, though. And so this year he was doing it again, and we're wondering if it's just that continuity is so important.
Well, that could be. It could very well be. I mean, hopefully that's the case. And, I mean, you're not done a bad job.
Been great.
He has.
As, you know, he's really been on fire as a color commentator and persona. I don't know if I want to watch a match between Joey Ryan and Taz at Bound for Glory, but I don't know that I don't either.
Yeah.
It'd probably actually be Taz, a representative of Taz, against Joey Ryan, I think is what they're leading to.
Samoa Joe?
I don't think Samoa Joe, no.
That was his...
Yeah, I don't think they're going that direction. Joe looks like he's moved on to bigger and better things right now.
That's true. But our main event of the evening, Austin Aries...
The promo right before this was great.
The
video package was just fantastic. Mm-hmm. Basically, it kept on showing. Basically, the video package was Bobby Roode having Bobby Roode cut the.
Yeah, good point.
Clips from his promo. Fuck you. Clips. It was basically. Is that our first profanity of this show?
It very well fucking could be.
It was basically Bobby Roode cutting different clips of his different promos, putting down Austin Aries in the X Division, and showing video clips of Austin Aries, what he sacrificed and how hard he's worked to get here.
Right.
It was really well done. And when that was over, I was like, okay, this is going to be good.
Yes, and it was.
Good. It was good. It wasn't great again. It's about 3.5 stars, but it was good. The ending was tremendous.
Well, the ending was tremendous. Austin Aries, your new TNA Heavyweight Champion.
Yeah.
Won clean in the middle with the Brainbuster.
That he did.
But yeah, just as it got going, what did Roode hit?
Roode came into the ring with a belt.
Right.
The referee, and he made it so the referee was not going to be able to not see him with it. Had to see him with it. And then as he did that, he gave him a low blow. And he rolled him up for the pin, and you're like, if he gets him like that, that'll suck. So luckily, Aries kicks out. Then the referee was knocked down.
Right.
Gets knocked down. There's a ref bump. Roode picks up the belt, which is now at the ring apron at the side.
Yeah.
Picks it up. Hits Aries. Drags the referee over. He's won so many of his championship belts like this.
Yeah.
Against Jeff Hardy, against Kurt Angle and stuff like that, with this type of move. So you're like, he might have him. And you're like, you said, I think he's kicking out, and I wasn't sure.
Yeah.
He kicks out. And then at this point, you're thinking, what?
Well, then at this point, it's like, you know, when he kicks out and Roode backs into the corner in disbelief, and it's like, I'm sitting there thinking, well, this is the time for the babyface to make his comeback and win, but...
Neither one of us really thought that Austin Aries was going to win.
Well, that was it. So we're thinking, oh, well, Aries isn't winning, but this is the time to do it. Yeah, exactly. But then, lo and behold, boom, turn, brainbuster, and he wins. A couple near falls.
Well, the thing is, a couple moves happen. He hits the brainbuster, though. He gets him up. There was a point where there was a small package, which looked like it was going to lead to a pin and a couple other things.
Yeah.
Then he gets him up, hits the brainbuster in the middle of the ring, and I went, he's got him.
Yeah.
And I don't know what you were thinking. If you were thinking also he's got him. Or you expect... I was like, it wouldn't have surprised me if Roode had kicked out. Because we think he's got him. And that's how you know.
Well, I was also looking at
the time.
The time on the clock going, yeah, it's gotta be over here. So.
Yeah, and I was thinking to myself, the reason why is because if the heel kicks out clean in the middle of the ring after being hit by the baby face's move, it makes him a baby face. And that's another thing that is great about TNA. Unlike Daniel Bryan and Chris Jericho cutting dueling funny promos on each other's jackets in the backstage area, their heels are really heels.
Yes.
Their heels are not somebody you want to cheer for. There's nothing likable. There's nothing likable about Bobby Roode. You're not going to, he's not going to get a mixed reaction.
No.
They're guys that they want you to boo, get booed. They don't get mixed reactions.
No.
That's one thing TNA does better than WWE.
I guess the closest thing they have is Aries, you know, when he gets cheers or whatever, and they keep chanting his name. Well, no, when he keeps chanting his name, he's like, okay, we get it. He can stop.
Yeah, but he is a babyface now, though.
Yeah, but he still does the heel thing.
He still does the heel
thing. That's what I'm saying. That's the closest that they have.
But, I mean, whereas WWE consistently, it's guys like Dolph Ziggler and you know, Daniel Bryan and whoever it is. I mean, consistently, they don't get the right reaction, the reaction they want people to get. No. And they tend to make their heels likable or funny or...
Well, and you
like
were...
Even a Heath Slater is an annoying comedy character. That character doesn't but, you know, he's not really dislikable. He's just an annoying comedy character, and he's a heel.
Right.
That character doesn't exist at all in TNA. And, as I said, that's better. That's part of what makes them fresh. As part of what I was listening to last week's show with the promos, where we played a bunch of our favorite promos, and we were listening to the heels, and you listen to them, those heels are unlikable, and those were promos that drew money.
Yes.
And that's what you want, right? And their guys definitely, you know, harken back to that.
Well, and I was waiting to see... When the Brainbuster hit in the middle of the ring, like, all I kept doing was looking to the top of the ramp because I was waiting for AJ to come out skipping around the ring.
Exactly.
So, and that didn't happen, so that was strange.
Yeah, it was strange and better.
Yes.
We'll get into Money in the Bank and our lack of interest later when we finish this up. But so now let's just speculate a little bit on this. Aries is your world champion.
True.
Great for the stipulation. If you want to get over the stipulation.
Well, for next year, yeah, exactly, right?
You wanted to do this. On the other hand, the James Storm, Bobby Roode storyline that they're kind of building up. Now, I don't know where they're going with it. I mean, can they still do it? Can they still build it up and make it for the title and have him get his revenge? Sure, there's a couple months left. Absolutely, you can do that. Do you want to give Austin Aries a short title reign after this? I don't think you necessarily do. It's because it wasn't what I expected. There's so many places they can go. It's not bad, but I don't know. It's good when here's what you want in wrestling. You want to think you know where they're going.
Right.
But you don't want them always to necessarily go there.
Exactly. And when I look at the fact that do you need the belt for Storm and Roode? I mean, it looked like natural progression was Roode stays the champion and Storm wins the Bound for Glory. The fact that, there's a few things that kind of take me back from that is that, I mean, Storm got off to the hot start.
Yeah.
So then typically you don't do that, right?
No.
You have to have some adversity and battle your way there. So there's that. Do you need the belt to do Roode versus Storm at Bound for Glory?
Well, no and yes. Obviously the feud and the blood feud can exist without the belt. But the whole point is that Storm, in his hometown, Lockdown, had that belt won, was going to beat his ex-tag team partner that turned his back on him for the belt. And that was going to be his, the comeuppance for the heel and the validation.
What you hold most dear, I will take from you, yeah.
Yeah, and now without that, you can still do it, but it's not as impactful. So I don't know, are they going to put it back on route? See, it's difficult now because I don't want them to put it back on Roode right away. I don't think that's necessarily good for the title or for Aries either.
No, and they're riding the crest because Austin Aries is really over right now.
Yeah, he is. I think he might be more over than James Storm.
I think he is. I think he's the most over guy. He's the guy that...
Jeff Hardy's the most over guy.
Well, yeah. But Austin Aries is the guy that when they come out, people are chanting his name. He may, be... Maybe not. He's not more over than Jeff Hardy, but... Like, he's getting there.
He is. He's doing fantastic. And I don't mind this move, like I say. Because, A, the guy is good. He's over. And also, just because it sells the stipulation.
Yes. Well, and that's why I like it, is because next year, you can have this match of the ex-champion versus the world champion. And you can go, well, yeah, but... Last year, the X guy won, so it's possible now, right?
Yeah, exactly. But now my question for you is, if we do Storm and Rude, at Bound for Glory, not for the belt,
right?
Who wins the
Joe?
Who do you what you think Joe versus
Aries?
Aries for the title, if he wins this thing, you think that's the most money?
If they do it right, I think yeah. I mean, I think that would be great. I don't like Kurt Angle versus Austin Aries.
Well, I like it.
I mean, I do, but at Bound for Glory, it's just, I don't know. It's something about Kurt Angle fighting for the world championship again. Just doesn't do anything for me.
I just don't know that Joe, like you say, he's getting a renewed push. I don't know that he's going to be quite up at that level again, that you want him to technically main event your biggest pay-per-view of the year.
Right. Well, at this point, though...
And also, he did lose clean to him a couple months ago. Now, can you build into that storyline-wise?
Mm-hmm. Sure.
But, like I said, those two have a lot of history in ROH and everything, but... I don't know. I don't think Joe is the guy. I think Jeff Hardy versus Austin Aries would mean the most buy.
That would be good.
I think it would be a very good
match. I could do that.
Yeah.
I
suspect they're going to give it back to Rude and Storm. It's still going to be Rude and Storm.
Yeah.
I do think that's the direction they're going to go. I just don't know if that's the best move. But, yeah.
Well, and then there's the... Hogan and Sting against those guys.
And that's obviously they're showing up here next week as we saw a little tease.
Yeah, with the cards. What were they? It was like an eight and a jack and a...
Yeah, which in poker means dead man hand. So they gave like some guy passed a piece of paper to Hogan on the backstage saying we'll be here next week, and Hogan was now holding the dead man's hand.
Now, is that supposed to be a guy? Is that one of the guys?
I don't think
so. Because
he looked smaller than what I remember the guys being. He looked more like a lawyer type to me. But I don't know what he was. I'm not sure.
Well, because he identified himself as like we, right? You don't think we can whatever, right?
Yeah, exactly. But who knows?
But
I mean, there's obviously that. Again, that's probably to lead to Hogan's handpicked guys against... Hogan's handpicked guys against these guys, whoever they are. Also, I mean, if you're going to have Hogan in a match, a six-man where he only does a quick spot, that's the way you do it.
Yeah.
That way maybe you get the rub from him, from whatever he might mean on pay-per-view. Again, I don't know. Did we hear what the buys were for Slammiversary?
They were very good, is all that I remember.
Very good or very good for TNA.
Yeah, very good for TNA, of course.
So we're talking about a company that I think they did like 12,000 for that... Slammiversary last year. So let's say they doubled that.
Yeah, I was going to say. I wanted to say like 25,000-30,000 that they did.
Yeah, let's say they did 25,000-30,000. I have a sense that this one is doing between 18 and 25. Which, again, doesn't sound like much, and it isn't. But it is an increase from where they were.
But when they were at 7, yeah.
Exactly. Same thing, the rating. There was more people watched this last week. It wasn't a strong rating, but there was a lot of actual viewers.
Well,
it's going to take a while. But, again, I have a sense that... What's TNA's ceiling? I'd say about a 1.8. What's their ceiling for a pay-per-view? Between 60 and 80,000, I'd say.
Yeah.
If they get up to that and they're doing, say, about 1,200 for house shows, 1,000 to 1,200 for every house show, they'll be a profitable company and a nice number two promotion. And that's probably their ceiling. And I think they should be happy with that. And I think anybody else who's out there who works in the industry should be happy for that, because that would give them actually an alternative. Maybe not, it's not the WWE, it'll never be the big money, but it's a true alternative to make a living.
Yeah. Well, that's just it. And then they can just sit back and hope that all of the WWE stars fail drug tests and they can just hire them.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Well, we don't know that about every... We don't know who's coming in, who's under those masks yet, so...
That's true.
So
that's
we'll,
true.
We'll see. I mean, I suspect maybe one of them has failed the drug test. Maybe two.
Maybe
not
two.
Not all of them.
No, I was thinking more in terms of when Randy Orton fails his third test, going over there.
Well, it was another thing, though. I mean, that is another point. I mean, I don't see that happening. I think he's already failed his third test. I think this is about his seventh test he failed.
Yeah.
So, let's put it that way. And when he's on his 15th or 20th test, I'm not sure he'll have ever be kicked out of the company. Maybe eventually they'll get sick of it. Who knows? It's possible.
Yeah.
But, there used to be a point where when they brought in Christian Cage, when they brought in Angle, you were like, oh, okay, this might mean something. But when they brought in Booker T, you're like, well, it doesn't mean anything, because look what they do to their guys.
Yes.
There's a sense now that if they brought back, if they did get a Randy Orton, that it would actually mean a little bit now. Again, he's not going to be the star for them that Jeff Hardy isn't the star
right.
for them. But yeah, I mean, I think it would mean more than obviously what Jeff Hardy or Booker meant when they came in this time.
Oh, definitely, yeah.
The company's going the right way. What we're basically saying is, even though this wasn't the best pay-per-view, what would you give this pay-per-view?
I would say 6 out of 10.
I'd probably give it 6.5.
Yeah.
I think it was about as good as Slammiversary. The end was great, right?
Like, well,
when Aries won and the crowd's going crazy, and then they showed the Bound for Glory series matches, 3 Bound for Glory series matches at Extreme Justice, all hardcore. Hardcore Justice, all extreme.
Right.
I turned it on. I'm like, okay, so now we're buying next month. Like, they already got us.
Yeah. And that's, what is it? They said that there were 12 stars, 3 hardcore matches, and the Bound for Glory series goes
extreme,
I think.
Yeah, Hardcore Justice, something like that. No, this is, it is a, like I say, it's a company trending in the right direction. I'm saying this to people listening. If you're not watching it, and you like, this is a company, and this is what I feel, this is a company for wrestling fans right now. Sure, there's pro wrestling fans. Sure, there's some of that soap opera stuff with Dixie and whatever, but it doesn't dominate the show. And the things feel important.
Yes,
matches feel important. Outcomes feel important. Titles feel important. This is a company right now. I enjoy TNA so far ahead of WWE, it's not even funny.
Oh, yeah, and they said, I'm interested in all of their, maybe even all, but I'm interested in all their matches, all their angles, said even that thing with Claire Lynch or whatever, it's like, I can handle that.
Yeah, exactly.
If
she hadn't been such a shitty actress, it wouldn't have seemed so bad, right? So, I mean, it's the angle itself, yes, like you say, it's a little bit of that soap opera stuff, but that has always been part of pro wrestling. A little bit's okay.
Oh, yeah.
A little bit's okay. As long as we're, WWE.
So now,
here's another thing that they did really well. This, what did we see here tonight? We saw, what were the matches that were the two matches probably the most promoted or best promoted for this? Was Styles versus AJ.
Yeah, and the Aries Rude match.
Okay. The month of television leading up to it, I think between all those guys, there was one match. Where they were in the ring together, and that was where Styles and Kazarian re-won the tag titles.
That's
from
right.
Angle and AJ. Whereas here we are on Raw, and how many times am I going to see Daniel Bryan versus CM Punk
versus
leading up to their match on pay-per-view?
Yeah,
on television they'll be in tag, they'll be in triple threats, they'll be in tag matches, they'll be in.
Oh, and yeah.
By the time it gets to the television, I'm like, I've seen this a billion times already.
Well,
and even though, I mean, I've seen AJ versus Angle a lot.
Yeah.
They don't do it constantly, week after week, constantly. again, I mean, how many times? Who's Sheamus facing?
Del Rio
next week. Somehow, I already feel like I've seen these guys wrestle each other a ton.
Yeah. Yeah, and I mean, the thing that I mean, my whole thing with WWE right now is that I'm just so sick of AJ. And
I've had enough. AJ's fine for 5 to 10 minutes on a show.
Yeah.
When she's getting 30 minutes or more of a show, when she's getting a quarter of the show on both shows every single week, it's too much. That said, apparently she's getting huge reaction on house shows. But then again, apparently she's not moving anything in the ratings. So what does this mean?
Well, it's just annoying.
Yes, it's too much. She'd be fine in 5 or 10 minutes. I don't think she's annoying. I think she's annoying when it's too much of her.
Well,
I don't think she's a very good actress, and I think they ask her to act a lot, and she's on TV so goddamn much.
I'm just looking at the fact that, again, there's not really anything new with it. It's, you know, it's this Kane, Daniel Bryan, CM Punk. She loves them all, she hates them all, you know, sorts of things. I mean, some of the things I don't mind, like when she's going over and, you know, she's asking Punk, you know, what did you think of my match? You didn't watch my match?
That's like 30 seconds, that's fine.
Yeah, and I was fine with that, and I liked that. But it's just the whole kissing and going back and forth, just, come on now.
She opens the show, she closes the show. On Raw, I counted it. She had 5 segments.
Oh, that was, what, 2 weeks ago, was it? Or was that Raw? That was Raw, she had 5 segments,
had
and Raw, on SmackDown, she just
had
one.
It
and it was a half-hour segment or whatever, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. 5 segments. Stone Cold Steve Austin or The Rock would get 5 segments. Even John Cena didn't get a lot of 5 segments, but he does.
Right.
But other than that, like...
Five knuckles segments.
Yeah, exactly. I'm not sure CM Punk gets 5 segments. Like,
oh, he doesn't.
You know, ever. Like, that is, like I say, I mean, and she ain't CM Punk. She ain't John Cena even. She sure as fuck ain't, you know, Stone Cold Steve Austin.
No,
or
what they're trying to do is be Sable. They're trying to be Sable and Kelly, or, you know, whatever, right?
I mean, Sable was obviously probably their second biggest star at one point, but even then, was she getting 5 segments of the show?
Well, but they're trying to promote AJ as the new women, you know, their new chick that they've got.
Well, yeah. And like I said, I think that'd be fine. If she was on 5-10 minutes a week, 1 or 2 segments, I think she'd be really good, and I think she'd become a big star. I think she has a lot of good things, a lot of good presence and stuff like that. But not what we're seeing.
No.
No, it's too much. I am sick of AJ. I've had enough of her.
Yes.
I've had absolutely enough of AJ.
We've seen enough.
Yeah.
And that said, I mean, we're getting to the next pay-per-view, which is Money in the Bank. And in, what, 2 weeks, is it?
I think it's next Sunday. I think it's 1 week from
Sunday.
Now.
Oh, Jesus.
And I think this might be our go-home show for it. And we are going to be going home, because that's where I'll be when it's on. I won't be over here watching it, I don't believe.
That's true. We're going to be watching it at the palatial studios of Mo.
Yes, the palatial dog hair encrusted studios of,
yes,
House Mo.
Yes, of House Mo.
Yes. No, I mean, it doesn't feel like buys. I mean, let's talk a little bit about it. What are the other matches they have announced? There's a three-way. It's not a two-way, but it is a three-way, because AJ will show up.
No, AJ's the referee.
Yes, well, exactly. So it is a three-way, essentially, yeah. But it isn't.
It's,
you know what
Punk,
I mean?
It's Punk and Brian.
With
AJ is
the
referee.
And the match is not going to be about the title, or Punk and Brian is going to be about fucking AJ.
Yes. Who's fucking AJ?
Well, apparently everybody.
Right.
She's a diva.
Yes.
So she's likely having an affair.
Kelly. But, I mean, when you do that, that's probably what it is now that Kelly is left.
There's this place called Tailblazers. It's a place for animals.
Yes.
They sell, you know, whatever, shampoo and toys and whatever.
Right.
And they had a big sign out front. It said, we got the biggest bones in town. So I figure that's where Kelly will be next.
Probably, yeah. Probably. Well, it's Tail. I think
Tail Blazers, yes, that is her.
Yes. Are they blue? But they, I don't know. I just.
So, okay, so yeah, you got the match will be built around who's AJ going to screw, literally.
Yeah, and AJ will side with Daniel Bryan, and Daniel Bryan will win the title.
Yeah, it seems built that way, and I'm not excited for that at all.
No.
I had too much AJ, and I'm sick of her.
Yeah. Then we've got the Raw Money in the Bank ladder match that will have The Big Show, Kane, John Cena, and Chris Jericho in it.
Worst Money in the Bank ladder match ever?
Oh, yeah. You may get an addition of Rey Mysterio. Rey Mysterio there, perhaps. But
Maybe. I don't... I'll get to that, but I don't think that's going to happen. Maybe but, it'll happen. Possible.
But
possible.
I mean...
But I think more likely you're going to see... I think Big Show wins it. So, I mean...
I just don't give a shit
no,
about
I don't either.
Any of them who win it. Like, any of the four. I don't actually care.
No, I don't care either. I will like Jericho once he completes his babyface turn as the rock and roll, fun-loving rock and roll character that he's becoming.
Yeah, he's going face, isn't he?
I mean, good Lord, did he ever look like Bon Jovi? I know that was one of the comments.
Yeah, yes.
But Jesus Christ. But yeah, I mean, he seems very much like he's going babyface, and that'll be good.
Yes.
But, and you know what, then you can have him versus Daniel Bryan.
Yeah, which would also be good.
Yeah, I mean, that's fine. Yeah, I got no problem with that. That said, it's really hard to get excited about any of those four people.
No, it's not. I shouldn't say it's really hard to get excited. It's the opposite of that. It's that, like, I will not get excited. There's absolutely nothing they can do to make me...
It's not that it's really hard to get excited about those four people. It's that it's impossible to get excited about
those four
people.
Yeah, there is absolutely nothing. Like, I will... probably take a shit during that match. Wait, we'll be at your house.
If we do it next week, yeah, I guess probably will be.
But anyway.
I don't know if I'll qualify. I'll probably get that. Yeah, I'll probably get that.
Oh, yeah, maybe not. Well, yeah, it's true, so who knows? We'll see.
We'll see what happens. But
but either way, I mean...
And by the way, there is... I just want to mention, because we just talked about DX pay-per-view. You know,
did who?
DX.
What?
The Generation X pay-per-view.
No, that
we're
was...
not going back to 1999?
97.
97, my mistake.
Ken Shamrock and Shawn Michaels.
It was December of 97, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was. With the boot camp match between...
Triple H and Sergeant Slaughter.
Sergeant Slaughter.
That's right. But anyways, what was that?
Jeff Jarrett versus The Undertaker.
There's not a live audio commentary coming from that. Just so everybody knows, there won't be one. That said, we are going to record one for something else. It'll be great.
Oh, yes. Yeah. Yes. And it will be...
up.
It will be extreme.
Not for Money in the Bank, either.
Oh, God, no.
No, something great.
Well, we can't do Money in the Bank commentary, because I said for an entire match, I'm going to be taking a shit.
Maybe more than one match.
Oh, well, okay, well, what other... There's
Sheamus versus Alberto Del Rio.
Right? Kid Cash doing that middle finger gimmick was awesome, by the way.
Yes, it was. Yes, we're the pay-per-view replays on while we're talking about things here. So
But I'm trying to think of Alberto Del Rio and Sheamus. Who gives a fuck? Again, I don't really like I don't like Alberto Del Rio, so that match does nothing for me. Like an Alberto Del Rio match is
Alberto
really
Del Rio is probably the only heel I could think of who's a pure heel though. Who's that old school? There's nothing likable about him.
Yeah, but I mean, it's just him as a champion. I don't buy it. So
yeah,
I don't care, and so it's and again, yeah.
I'm gonna throw this past you because how about this? Sheamus has had the belt since WrestleMania.
Yes.
CM Punk has had the belt since about what three,
October
4 months?
October or so, yeah.
3-4 months before WrestleMania.
Maybe 6 months.
Yeah, 6 months before. You say that Daniel Bryan's gonna get the belt. What if he doesn't? What if both of them hold the belt until WrestleMania, and we have a match between the two of them?
To unify.
To unify, or maybe just to settle who really is the best. I mean, whatever. Just the idea that it's this guy's been a champ for a year. I think it would have to be to unify. I don't know if you keep it like that permanently, but certainly I do think you do it to unify. But this guy's been a champ for a year. He's unbeatable.
Yeah.
He's stopped all comers. And this guy's been a champ for 18 months. He's unbeatable. He's stopped all comers. And they're going to match up. It becomes that. I mean, it's almost like what they did with Destination X here with Aries and and rude. And, you know, I mean, it's almost like what you had BJ Penn versus George St. Pierre, you know. And that did a lot of buys when you had two champions of two weight divisions going at each other. I mean, I think if they keep up with that, that'll be a huge money match.
Yeah, but, yeah, I mean, yeah, that would work. That would work. But I think you do have to unify it if you're going to do that match of two champions. I think it has to be unification.
Do you think it would work? Do you think people get into it and buy it?
Well,
buy into the idea the winner is actually the best?
You're doing it at WrestleMania. No, of course not.
No?
But you're doing it at WrestleMania. And when you're talking about, again, you're going to unify it, and it's, you know, you're going to have your Undertaker match, you're going to have your Rock match, you're going to have your Brock Lesnar match, you know.
Yeah, but some of those guys might be against each other, right?
Well, that's true.
It's probably going to be third from the top.
Probably
going to be third from the top.
So how is that? So then you can't, you know, who's the best? Well, no, that doesn't really do it. I don't know. I don't think you need two champions anymore because of the...
I don't think so either.
Everybody's on every fucking show anyway type thing, so it's, I don't know, it would be good, and I just like it for the means
third
to the end.
Top, but those one matches, or those other two matches are special attractions.
Yeah,
I think it would be good. I would love it if they did that.
But those would be the ones that are selling it anyway, the special attractions, not this match, but... this unification deal.
I think those other matches are great for casual fans, and I think this would be more for a hardcore fan.
Yeah.
You know?
So. But I think, what else? Do we know what we have for Money in the Bank on the SmackDown side? There's still some more people to go in it, isn't there?
I don't think so. I think we have them all. We got Cody Rhodes, Dolph Ziggler.
Right.
Tyson Kidd. That's where I think Tyson Kidd, based off of the Lord Tensai beating... I don't think he'll be in there. I think that's where you can see Rey Mysterio or even a Wade Barrett.
Okay, yeah.
Come in for that spot. As a last-minute replacement. But, yeah, I mean, that's kind of my guess. You have Tensai, you have... Who did I say? Let's start over. You have Ziggler, Rhodes, Tensai. It's
Damian Sandow.
Christian.
Santino. And Tyson Kidd.
Tyson Kidd, that's seven?
Seven. Is there eight?
Yeah, maybe there is then. Maybe there's one more to come, or maybe... I don't know.
Who's that jumping out the sky?
Maybe.
Apparently, yeah. Wade Barrett, upon coming back, is in line for a huge push.
Huge push. So it makes sense for him to come back and win the
briefcase.
Yeah. Now, the guy who makes the least amount of sense, and yet the most amount of sense, based on WWE booking, is Dolph Ziggler. And that's based on the idea that he's eaten, I think, over the last 8 weeks, seven brogue kicks for losses.
Mm-hmm.
So he's not nearly as good as Sheamus. So if he uses the briefcase to beat him and finally get him the champion, that's a real heel prick move.
Right.
And that's the type of thing they do.
Yeah.
And I don't know that that's actually bad, because that's a real heel prick thing to do.
Yeah.
You know, it could work.
Yeah, because we've been hearing Cody and Dolph for months is the rumor.
You'd be thinking not for Dolph because, oh yeah, there's the angle that we liked.
Yes.
But yeah, you'd be thinking that no for Dolph because he's lost so much. But if you look at it from that perspective, yeah, he keeps losing the same guy, and then he actually uses the briefcase to win it from him.
Well, yeah. I mean, that's possible, I guess.
Yeah.
But... yeah, I don't know. But again, we're looking at Dolph is really the only guy that I like in that match. I mean, I like Damian Sandow, but he's not going to win it. You know, I like Tyson Kidd, but he's not going to win it.
You like Christian? You like?
Go like Christian.
Yeah.
You know,
I like Cody. Yeah, but you're right. I mean, he seems like the most...
Ziggler and Cody are the two, right?
Yeah, and I mean, it doesn't make sense for Christian to hold it. It doesn't make sense for Damian Sandow to hold it. It doesn't make sense for Tyson Kidd to hold it, or Lord Tensai.
Right.
Right? So,
or Santino.
Or Santino. So you're right. It comes down to those other two. And of those two, Cody, for me, I was the guy I would go to, because I think he's the guy who has the most potential, because he hasn't been buried as bad. But Ziggler, I think, is the guy storyline-wise who makes the most sense.
Yeah.
So.
But that's the pay per view.
Like I say, if Wade Barrett, if it was Wade Barrett, I'd be fine with that. Even if it was Ray, I wouldn't want him to win it.
No. But yeah. Here you go again. Now we've got.
I mean, that's another thing. Tyson Kidd could just be out of it, right? Just right. To bring it back to six people. Because unless there's somebody else we're missing, and we're not going to bother to look it up.
No.
The other thing is, isn't Tyson Kidd the new Evan Bourne?
Why? I don't think he smokes drugs.
Exactly. But this is the spot that if Evan Bourne doesn't smoke drugs, he's in. This isn't Tyson Kidd.
That's true. Is Kofi in?
I don't think either one of the tag team guys are in.
See, what?
So maybe this is when we're going to see their tag team title match against the primetime player.
That could be, because I was going to say, now what we're doing is we're only seeing four matches. Right? So, if... you know, if you get a tag match, a women's match, there's six. The Intercontinental Champion is in it, as is the U.S. Champion, right? They're both in the SmackDown Money in the Bank, right?
That's
so,
right. Both of them, yeah.
So anyway, there's possibility of like six matches, really.
Yeah, it's a possibility about that. And like you say, you got your women's match, you got your Ryback squash match.
Oh, yeah, that's stupid,
right?
Squash.
You got that type of bullshit.
Well, and you're going to have your pre-show match that they're doing on YouTube, right? So I think that, you know, but yeah, I don't really care. We'll watch it because we do this show, and but that's...
Yeah, as far as selling me on it, no. Poor.
If we didn't do this show, I would be watching it.
Or if we had to pay full price, which we probably won't.
That's true.
That's the other thing. So, yeah. But, I don't know. It's just... Yeah. I don't know. WWE is just not trending in the right direction. TNA is.
That's true. Worldwide?
Worldwide. And this guy right now coming to the ring is the other big story of the week, so let's get on to that.
Yeah, Kenny King, no longer with Ring of Honor, one half of the Ring of Honor Tag Team Champions with Red Titus, the All Night Express, is now with TNA.
Yeah, showed up. Apparently he didn't, I think for about 10 days he was without a contract.
Yeah, 12 days, I think.
12 days, something like that. And they had a handshake agreement with him that he would... not show up, or he could show up on somebody else's TV, but he couldn't wrestle or someone. No, he can negotiate.
He can negotiate
with other people, but he couldn't wrestle for them. With the handshake agreement.
Yeah.
Well, he showed up for TNA. They said, "We want you on." He told them, "I don't think that handshake agreement is fair, and I'm going to wrestle for them." And so they promptly fires him and strips him of the belt.
Well, I'm watching Impact, and all of a sudden I texted you. I'm like, isn't Kenny King the Ring of Honor Tag Team Champion?
Yeah, exactly. I didn't get back to you for a while, but yeah. Yeah, exactly. I don't blame him. You know?
I can't. No, definitely not. Your Ring of Honor really at this point is kind of a, I don't want to say a sinking ship, but it's just kind of holding on.
Yeah, if it's not a sinking ship, it's certainly got some leaky parts, put it that way. Kind of like me with your mom.
Yes, yeah. You really have to stop peeing on her.
Yeah.
But it's, you know, they're talking about, you know, not a lot of house, they were talking doing like 12 house shows a month kind of thing, and, you know, they don't even do that.
Well, look,
they've just canceled some shows.
The Sinclair thing hasn't worked out. I mean, when that was happening a year ago, we were pretty excited. We were speculating, what's it going to mean? Are they going to take on TNA and become number two? TNA's vulnerable, and then they were because they sucked because they had an idiot in front of creative.
Right.
Now there's no sense that this company has any momentum, that they're going anywhere.
No.
Their pay-per-views have consistently fucked up on their live streams.
Right.
The shows aren't blowing people away. They don't seem to have created any new stars.
Well, Adam Cole.
Okay. That's the closest they got then, fine. Only two people to even their hardcore audience. Only two things get a reaction. That's Kevin Steen and the Briscoes.
Yeah.
So I don't think, I mean, I don't blame him for leaving ROH. She's got a chance at a national spot. Kind of like Mike Awesome. Well, Mike Awesome had to take all that money WCW was offering.
Yeah.
Could he have done it in a different way, perhaps? But he had to take all that money.
Well, I liken it more to when like Benoit and Malenko and Eddie. I think it was Malenko and Eddie at the same time left to go to WCW, right, for Nitro.
Yeah, yeah.
And it, you know, same idea, you know, just their contract was up or whatever, and it was time they could go, right? And so they went. It's similar to the Mike Awesome in that he's a champion. There. So what they do, they haven't announced what they're going to do yet with the tag titles. So,
but I don't have a sense that I don't know. I'm not confident Ring of Honor will still be in business in 2 years, let's say.
Yeah.
1 year, maybe. 2 years, I'm not so sure. Not if things keep going the way they are. There's no sense that there's any growth going to happen. And there's no sense that if they don't grow, that they continue the way they once did. Because they once made money because they sold a lot of DVDs. They don't do that anymore.
What about that?
Sinclair doesn't work out.
The thing is, when you're talking about creating new stars, they have the Headbangers.
Oh, yeah, but they put them in masks, so nobody recognized them.
Right.
Yeah.
The Sisters of Love.
So, yeah, I mean, ROH, I don't know that I think a year ago I would have been much more upset with the idea of ROH going away than I am now, because Impact has given me something worth watching now.
Right.
And I don't know that we need, I guess it would only really leave two companies for people to make any money.
You may have that right now.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, I don't know. I don't think that some of those guys working in ROH are doing much else other than wrestling, and I don't think, you know, I don't think Davey Richards, does Davey Richards still have another job?
I don't know.
Does
that
Kevin Steen still have another job than wrestling?
I don't.
If ROH goes away, would those guys be able to still work some wrestling but also have to have another job? That's kind of my thing.
Right? I know. I think if you're a top guy there, then like Steen could take indie bookings and just do that, right? Travel around the country, because he's been doing that for how long, right?
That's true. That's
so,
true. I mean, I don't know.
Well, Davey Richards is still saying he's done after this year.
Yeah. Well, we'll see about that. But yeah, I mean, would it be bad? I mean, would somebody else step up and become a third company and give us something fresh and maybe take off? Or would it just be two companies?
Just be two companies.
It would just be two companies, wouldn't it?
I mean, look
And is that bad? I'm not sure it is. ROH just, I don't know.
The thing is, again, and it's been talked about for ages, and look at how, I mean, TNA's been okay before in the past with the Joe and Daniels and things, and they had some momentum there, but reality is here they are with, you know, their biggest viewership, they're getting some pay-per-view buys back, but, I mean, they were, when they got to that point when it was, you know, I said that three-way feud, and they were at their peak just before Kurt Angle come in.
Yeah.
Right? They were, what, 5-6 years old at that point?
Yeah.
And so, I mean, nothing can just open and, you know, and give an alternative.
That's the thing. ROH is about to hit its 10-year. And at its 10-year, it's probably not as big a company as it was at its 5.
Well, no, but that's also because these tertiary companies go the way... WWE is still the bar. So... When WWE in 2003, 2004 was hotter than it is now, the other wrestling was hotter just by proxy. So that's what you're getting now.
Perhaps. Yeah. I don't know. I guess you're right. I realize I don't really think of it, but I think in 2007, WWE was hotter than it is now. Not much difference, but yeah.
But it still was, and you still had
this match, by the way, is way better with the sound off.
It is.
Like, this is one of those matches, we're watching the Kenny King versus Doug Williams match, which did not seem good at all in front of a crowd that didn't care.
Yeah.
I'm watching it with the sound off here, and it's like, man, this is crisp, it's athletic, lots of good moves, good pace.
I only saw Kenny King fuck one thing up.
Yeah, exactly. But that's fine. I mean, that happens. But this is a much better match with the sound off.
Yes, it is. It is.
Which is interesting.
No, it's not. Moving on. But I'm thinking of... I just think that the Ring of Honor is kind of... unfortunately has seen better days and may not be.
We put a lot on the Sinclair. And boy, there's a lot of good near falls here. I didn't even realize it, like you say, because I didn't care about the match first. So.
Yeah.
There's the Sinclair thing, we put a lot on it, and because that hasn't brought them to the next level, and Sinclair certainly hasn't really seemed to care about them, I don't know. I don't know.
It's not that they haven't cared about them.
I had more faith that Cornette would be able to help take them to the next level, and I don't see it. I don't see anything. I just don't see anything happening.
No, and the thing is that...
they're not giving me blowaway matches when I do see them. Some good matches, but it's just not... doesn't feel like the in-ring quality is as good as it once was. Doesn't feel like the booking is as good as it once was. And doesn't feel like the passion of the fan base or the wrestlers is as good as it once was.
And I think it... to me, year over year... it just seems...
still watch it over WWE, though.
Yeah. It just seems the same, though, to me, year over year. And, with the Sinclair, we thought we would get something kind of moved up a bit. But that hasn't happened. It just stagnated, essentially. I see no difference in Ring of Honor now that I do last July, right?
You know, no, exactly, exactly. In fact, it seemed like they're a little worse off than last July, a little more boring. Could the one thing that saved them and make them interesting again?
Randy Orton?
Pardon me?
Oh.
What's that?
No, Randy Orton?
No.
No?
Gabe Sapolsky. Could Sapolsky come back and it give them anything?
I don't.
Is he the one name that could kind of reinvigorate them again, give them energy again?
I don't know. I mean, something has to, right? And again, not getting the TV.
I mean, what was he, like three, four years in a row, won Booker of the Year and the Wrestling Observer Awards or something like that?
Yeah.
When he was booking them?
The thing is we don't get the TV here in Calgary. We don't have a Sinclair station. So we don't get to see, but there's no buzz about it. I don't hear about it.
I don't hear anything.
Hear any results or anything. I mean, Adam Cole won the TV title. I heard that. But that's it. Oh, two things for Kenny King there.
I don't know if that was King. That looked like that might have been that Doug Williams is looking a little chubby. And speaking of a little chubby, I got to go see your mom when we're done here.
Oh, yeah, because your chubby is little.
Yeah, that's what I meant.
That's what I thought you meant. But I just think that the Ring of Honor, I said, if we got the TV, I might feel a little bit different about it. I don't know. But as I said, I don't hear anything about it.
Exactly.
No one's going, you gotta see this, right? So
exactly. What we're saying. If there's people who gave up on TNA and they're not watching it, they're listening to us, they're going, you know, I gotta check that out.
Yeah.
I'm not hearing that for ROH.
No.
And I was at one point. I mean, it was difficult for me to keep up with it when they were having the feud with CZW. I knew about it, and there was buzz out there.
Yes.
And that doesn't exist now.
And even when it was on HDNet there.
Yeah.
There was, when it first came on HDNet, there was buzz that you got to see this, right? So,
exactly.
But,
exactly. I do have somebody calling though. I think it is Jesse Sorensen's mom. Just quickly, should I answer the phone?
Yeah, answer the phone. Yeah. Jesse Sorensen's mom. We could just Jesse Sorensen just on the TNA pay-per-view.
Mrs. Sorensen, how are you doing? Proud of your son? eat any good hay?
I like hay, Mo.
Mrs. Sorensen, folks.
All right. Yeah, that was a good get. That was a good get.
There you
get.
Go. Yeah, no, big get for us.
Yeah, big. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Big, yeah, exactly. great Christopher Daniels promo here.
Oh, yes, with his apple teenies.
I think we're pretty much done. Shout-out time?
I think that's it. It's WeTalkWrestling.com. For all the shows, you go to Stitcher and iTunes and look up We Talk Wrestling and get all the shows past and present there. Addie at WeTalkWrestling.com for my email. At WeTalkWrestling for the Twitter. And then you got shit, too.
Yeah. Lately, there hasn't been a blogger. You this last week, you've been on vacation, so you've been drinking?
Yes.
For the last 10 days straight?
Pretty much.
Yeah, so there's been no time for blogging.
No.
And I've been busy myself. I have thrown a little bit up there, but not too much myself for the last week or so. But Freaks TV Channel E. We've been putting up his guest blogs on what he would have done to reboot TNA. Really, really cool stuff. So that's everybody should check that out. I've got the early rough drafts on what he's doing for our idea that we've been talking about with the new Monday Night Super Show for Raw. Won't be Raw anymore. If we were to get in there and reboot some WWE product, the stuff he's doing is super, super cool. It's gonna kick ass.
Yeah.
And happy for you guys to see it. It was cool, right?
Oh, it was, yeah. It looks really cool.
Yeah. So, you know what, that's coming in the future. And other than that, We Talk Podcasts has other stuff there. And if you want a guest blog or podcast or anything like that, shows, wrestling, comic books, movies, whatever, hit me up at mo@wetalkpodcast.com, mo_wetalk on Twitter. And I think we're OUT.
That's it. So, in the meantime and in between time, that's it. Another edition of We Talk Wrestling. Good night, folks.